Monitor celebrates the birthday of Richard Rodgers. Richard Rodgers wrote his first song in 1916 at Camp Wigwam in Harrison, Maine. It was titled Dear Old Wigwam. He was 14 years old at the time. And now, 600 songs later, he will be 65 this Wednesday, June 28th. And that seems like a good excuse to listen to the man and his music. I'm your host, Ted Steele. Richard Rodgers' music has been sung, played, whistled, hummed, or just plain enjoyed by everyone within the sound of my voice this evening. The musical South Pacific is nearly everybody's favorite. But is it the favorite of the composer himself?
No, South Pacific is not my favorite. Carousel is my favorite. But that's from a musical viewpoint and from a dramatic content viewpoint. South Pacific certainly would be as high on the list as you can get from the viewpoint of entertainment. I have a certain admiration for it. The opening in 1949 was the explosion of a bomb, a pleasant bomb. And the one a couple of weeks ago at Lincoln Center consisted of material that the public was acquainted with. And there were not so many surprises. You had the sentiment on the part of the audience and nostalgia. And these are two very nice things to have working for you when you open a big show.
How much of the show had to be rewritten and changed?
Nothing had to be changed. The songs appear to be just as valid, and the story is too. A lot of people thought that the war, having ended so far back, it wouldn't have any present validity. Well, apparently it does, because I think essentially this is a story about people in love and not about people at war.
There is a new Nellie Forbush in the revival, but she has the approval of the original.
I hear that Mary Martin sent the same sailor suit that she wore in the opening in 1949 to Florence Henderson. And this wouldn't be surprising because of the kind of girl Mary is.
Hearing South Pacific 19 years after he wrote it, how did it sound to Richard Rodgers? What one song was his favorite?
I don't think that I had any particular favorite in the revival. It's awfully hard to do that. It's like having 14 kids and liking one of them better than all the others. I must say, I was a little surprised that they all sounded as well as they did.
Wouldn't agree that they've held up well. Some enchanted evening, younger than springtime. This nearly was mine. There's nothing like a dame. Bali High. And one of the happiest songs ever written, Happy Talk.
Happy Talk came about through the dramatic content of the play. It was the mother of the girl telling the girl and the boy that they could live a pretty idyllic life together. And she sang about it. And something interesting, Oscar had the title, Oscar Hammerstein, had the title and told me about it, and I liked it tremendously. Then as we approached rehearsal, we found we were short of time, and Oscar thought we could do without Happy Talk. But I loved the title so much that I made a big point of this, and Oscar finally agreed that we should write it, and that's the one that's in the show now.
That's also the one that's being sung today by some of the new young groups. Here's the version by Harper's Bazaar. It's Happy Talk 1967 style.
Happy talky, talking, happy talk. Talk about things you like to do. You gotta have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how you gonna have a dream come true? Talk
Rodgers and Hammerstein musical that had the longest run on Broadway was Oklahoma. Next was South Pacific, and then The Sound of Music. The Sound of Music ran for 1,443 performances on Broadway, and then went on to become the biggest money-making motion picture of all time, bigger even than Gone with the Wind. How does Richard Rodgers feel about that?
Anything as successful as Sound of Music has to be surprising, and I'm surprised, but very happily.
Oscar Hammerstein used to complain about how fast Richard Rodgers wrote a song. He said, quote, "You send a batch of lyrics off to Dick, and the next morning he's on the phone saying, 'Okay, that's all done. Where's the next set?'" Sometimes, as with Edelweiss, the song, the music that is, came first.
Edelweiss was in the original production of Sound of Music, but it was not in the show when we opened it in New Haven. We felt that we needed it. Oscar was ill, and we talked on the phone, and I wrote the tune, and when Oscar did get up to Boston, he wrote the lyric. And that, incidentally, was the last song we ever wrote together.
Here is that last Rodgers and Hammerstein song. Ed Ames sings it.
Edelweiss, Edelweiss, every morning you greet me, small and white, clean and bright, you look happy to meet me. Blossom of snow, may you bloom and grow, bloom and grow forever. Bless my homeland forever.
Edelweiss, Edelweiss, every morning you greet me, small and white, clean and bright.
May you bloom and grow, bloom and grow forever. Edelweiss, Edelweiss, bless my homeland forever. Bless my homeland forever.
Richard Rodgers talks about a show he wrote with Lorenz Hart, Babes in Arms, in 1 minute on the Monitor Beacon.
Baseball, dancing, swimming, gym, archery, and bowling are only a few of the activities in which blind people participate at the vacation camp for the blind. That's because blind people are like everyone else, given help and understanding. They can do almost everything sighted people can do. You can help them have a vacation this summer by supporting Vacation Camp for the Blind, 117 West 70th Street, New York City.
For a provocative and stimulating evening, join Long John Neville Mondays through Saturdays at midnight on WNBC, the big voice of Big Town USA. Long John, a man with matters on his mind, is of a mind to make them matter by bringing you interesting people with something to say and no fear of saying it. Fair warning, though, once you've let Long John put you in touch with Big Town, you'll find yourself staying up all night waiting to hear what's next on the Long John Neville Show.
WNBC New York, the big voice of Big Town USA, is the sound of entertainment.
Monitor, celebrating Richard Rodgers' birthday, hearing his reflections and opinions, and listening to his music. Babes in Arms, the 1937 hit musical by Richard Rodgers and Larry Hart. It was described by one critic as perfectly swell fun.
It was terribly interested in what was happening to teenagers. It was probably a little ahead of itself in that respect. I think that today's youth has the same set of problems that it had when Babes in Arms were first done. How they resolve these problems is where the difference comes in. But the problems are more or less the same. The business of coping with parents, living with them, and learning how to live without them.
What about boys with long hair and girls in miniskirts?
The long hair doesn't bother me, and the miniskirts please me.
One of the songs in the show Babes in Arms was Where or When. It's a standard now, and it was a hit in 1937.
Where or When was one of the few immediate hits that I ever had. It became popular right away. And there's another curious thing about Where or When, one of those odd things that rarely happens. It was the first song on the show, and that's almost unheard of. But it did take root very, very quickly, as opposed to, let us say, My Funny Valentine, which is in the same show, and didn't become popular for a number of years.
Where or When, as Frank Sinatra sings it with Count Basie.
It seems we stood and talked like this before. We looked at each other in the same way then. Can't remember where or when. The clothes you're wearing are the clothes you wore. The smile you are smiling, you were smiling then. Can't remember where or when. Some things that happened for the first time seem to be happening again. And so it seems that we have met before, and then we laughed before, also loved before. But who knows where, when? For the first time seem to be happening again. And so it seems that we have met before, and then we laughed before, and then we loved before. But who
Falling in Love with Love was a romantic duet in the Rodgers and Hart musical comedy, The Boys from Syracuse.
Oh,
Even Richard Rodgers doesn't hear it played that way very often these days.
The way falling in love with love is being done today is just about as different as it possibly can be from the way it was done originally. It's kind of sentimental, soft waltz, and today is pretty far out. But I have to tell you that I approve of it. This is a selfish viewpoint. I think that it's very good to have different versions, because I think the difference keeps the songs alive. I think they would just expire of boredom if they were done religiously the way they were written, time after time. They might last 2 or 3 months. This way they last a couple of generations.
One of this generation's favorite groups, the Supremes, helping to make it last. Happy birthday, Richard Rodgers. This is Ted Steele for Monitor.
This is the NBC Radio Network.